The following is a podcast of Thrive, a high school ministry at Victory Family Church. For more details, see thriveatvictory.com.
Thank you very much, Zach. I appreciate it. As always, guys, it is an honor to be here. I love the fact that I get the privilege of coming to the church that I grew up to and speaking to the youth, just as Pastor Larry did to me, just as Zach Blair did to me, and then now Zach Del Turco for you guys. It really is an honor to be here. And when Zach asked me to speak, I asked him, I was like, yeah, no, I would love to. What's the topic? What do you want me to talk about? And he said, the love of God. And if that's not broad enough, I was like, thanks, Zach. I appreciate it. I'll think of something. And so with that, I'm like, okay, so the love of God, what about that? Lord, what do you want me to talk to these teens about? And, you know, I was actually, I'm speaking at 19 North, too. And as I was preparing for that, really had that message down. But the more I kept praying about it, it wasn't for you guys. And I kept praying, like, all right, God, what do you want? What do you want? And this is what came to me. And it was the initiating love of God. And I really do find this to be the foundation to why we call ourselves Christians, the foundation of how we get to relate to the God of this universe. And so with that, we're going to go to a story in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 15 is the prodigal son. Now, I realize if you grew up in the church background, you've heard this story, I promise you, 1,000 times. Everybody knows it. But I promise you, there's a part of it that you haven't gone over it this way. And so before we get into that, I'm just going to pray. And then we'll dive in, all right? So, Father, I come before you right now. I would just thank you for every student that is in this room. I thank you for Thrive. I thank you for the ministry that you have here. Father, I ask that every word out of my mouth would be of you. If it is not, Lord, I just ask it be on deaf ear, that they would not take that. They would only take what is of you. Allow it to captivate their hearts. Allow it to draw them nearer to you, that they would see your love for them, and they would ultimately glorify your name. We say all this in your son's name. Amen. Okay, so before we go in, I just want to let you guys let you know, I'm not a pastor. I do speak a lot, but I listen to a lot of podcasts and I read a lot of books. So everything that I'm saying is not an original thought. I actually would rather just play a podcast for you tonight because you would learn so much more than what I could possibly give you. But I'm here, so you're going to deal with it. So with that, we're going to go right into the story. So Jesus is actually sitting around a bunch of tax collectors, a.k.a. sinners, and a bunch of Pharisees. And he goes into this story, and it's the story of the prodigal son. He said there's two sons and one dad. And his dad loved both sons so much. And, you know, the older son was really, you know, that ideal son. Did what it appeared, right? He did everything that his father asked him to, really obeyed his father, so it worked hard. But his younger son, not so much. The younger son really didn't like what the father had to tell him sometimes, really had a problem with the things said. And at one point, this younger son just says, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. I can't deal with these rules. I can't deal with the way he treats. I'm out. All right? And so what he does, he goes up to his dad. And he says, Dad, I'm done. I want my inheritance right now. I don't want to be a part of this family anymore. And, you know, in our context, it's kind of hard to understand, like, why would that such a big, like, so in this context, in Middle Eastern culture at this point, to do that, like, you don't get your inheritance until your father dies. So for you to go up to your dad and say, hey, Dad, I want my inheritance now, what you're saying is, just die. Dad, I don't love you. I don't care about you. I just want what you can give me. Can I have it now? And at this time, this father has every ability to just knock him out. To just say, no, you're not part of this family. Get out, kicks him out, disowns him. He doesn't. That's one of the most fascinating parts of the story. The father doesn't do that. He says, okay. All right, and so he gives it to him. And this is where we're going to pick it up in verse 13, Luke chapter 15. It says, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. There he squandered his property in reckless living. And so shortly after, he just left. And he spent it all. Like, so quickly. He did exactly what this culture tells you life's about. Self-discovery. Just, because don't listen to your parents. You need to find who you are by your own means, right? So he's just partying. Drugs, sex, money, everything's on the table, right? There's nothing that's not on it. But he's not that smart, like us. He's not that smart. He doesn't know what to do. He spends all this so quickly. It gets to the point where he's actually starving. He just inherited all the money his wealthy father gave him. Which is a third of, because the other two-thirds were his older brother. But a third of that, just spent it all. And he's literally starving. He's laying in a pigsty with other pigs. He wants to eat what the pigs are eating. And he doesn't know what to do. He literally hits rock bottom. It happens so quickly. All because he wanted to decide, I want to live this life the way I want to live it. Did everything the culture said you needed to do. But he hits rock bottom. And in verse 17, it says this, "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger?'" So he gets an epiphany. He's just like, oh, so you know what? I don't need to starve here. I got a dad. Look, there's no way he's going to accept me as a son. That's gone. I lost that. I burned that bridge. But I can go back and I can be a hired servant. What he's really thinking is I'll pay my dad off somehow, is what he's thinking. He's not going to accept me in the family, but at least I won't be starving, is what he's thinking. And so he thinks of this apology and he starts to head home. What he doesn't know is this whole time, his dad never left the front porch. Every single day he's out there waiting for his son to come home. Everybody around him is like, "Sir, your son's, he's not coming back." He says, "Quiet, no. He's coming back, and when he does, I'm going to be here." And so in verse 20, it says, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. He ran and embraced him and kissed him." So, look, this son didn't afford food. Do you think he afforded a shower? Like, he didn't know what. This dad, and this is an odd time. Like, this is a patriarchal time where older men did not run, all right? The audience that was hearing this would have been like, "You're joking. No older man runs after a son. If anything, he'd wait for him." And this is a weird time. He's in a robe. He's running after him. Things are probably like, you get the picture. It's kind of weird, probably. He's running after his son. He's probably not knowing what his dad wants. He's like, "What the heck's going on?" He goes, and his dad just grabs him. He hugs him. He kisses him. And he's trying to unfail his apology. He's like, "Dad, I'm sorry. I'm not worth being your son." And he wants none of it. The father, pick it up in verse 22. "The father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." And so what the father was saying to this kid is like, "You're not earning your way back. Look, I know you want to try and pay, but you're missing it. You can't do it. I'm bringing you back into the family. Put a ring on him." That means family. "Put a robe on him. Clothe him. We're having a party because I'm bringing you into this family, not by your own means." Guys, it's a beautiful, beautiful example of the unconditional love God has for every single one of us. And what it says is this: there's not a single sin that you can do, there's not a single sin that you can commit where the Father's just going to get stingy and say, "No, that's too far. I can't cover that. He disrespected me too." That's what he's saying. He's like, "No." And so he throws a party. And that's typically where the story ends in most cases. Most people don't go past that, right? We get it. The prodigal son returned. Everybody has a sinner. We run back to God. He forgives us. Amazing. Yippee, right? But the story's not over. There's that older son I told you about. And he's out in the field. He's working. Doing everything he's doing. He's doing what his father told him to do. And he hears that there's a party going on. He's like, "What's going on?" So he asks the servant, he's like, "What's going on?" And he's like, "Dude, your brother's home." He's like, "My brother?" He's like, "Yeah, the one you hate. Yeah, he's back." He's like, "And your dad threw a party for him." He's like, are you joking?" And so this older son gets so, so mad, refuses to go into the party, can't believe his father would squander his wealth on such a rebellious kid. And he's just standing out there, just so angry, won't go in. And so the father actually comes out to him. He pleads with him. He says, "Come in. This party's for all of us. This is our family. Come in." And he refuses to do it. And this is when the older brother goes into to talk to his dad, or he's talking to his dad. He said, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me even a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed a fattened calf for him." So pick up the disrespect in there. Do you see that? He doesn't call him father. He just says, "Look." He doesn't say my brother. He doesn't say your son. He says, "This son." And what he's really saying is, like, I can't believe at our expense. Because realistically, everything left in that father's account is the older son's. It is. He gave the other, so everything else is for him. And what he's saying is, like, I can't believe you would squander our wealth like this. And again, the father has the ability of flipping out. The father has the ability of kicking him out of the family, but he doesn't. In verse 31, this is what the father says to him. He says, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It is fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Notice he says, everything that is mine is yours. He wasn't lying. Like, it really was that. And so that's where the parable ends. Cliffhanger. You got no idea what happens. You don't know what the older brother does. You don't know if he comes in. You don't know. But see, this is why I picked this story tonight, why I believe God put this on my heart, is this story radically changed me. I didn't correlate to the younger brother. Not at all. I grew up in church. I had 5 older siblings to mess up for me. You guys know Vanessa, right? She's my sister. I watched her screw up. I didn't need to mess up too much, right? I knew what it was like to be like, no. So I was a very moral kid. I didn't sleep around. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. All these kinds of things. So I never really related to the prodigal son story. But I do relate to this. The older brother. See, what happens when you don't love God for who he is, you love him for what you can get from him, what happens is this, you become bitter. See, what this older son was telling his dad, he's like, Dad, I'll do what you say. I'll do this to a T. I'll do it perfectly, actually. But in return, you got to do this. And he didn't love his father. And I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to just go through the motions. I know what it feels like to just be moral. But what happens is this. One of these times, you're going to be wanting God to do something for you. You're going to be expecting it, and it doesn't happen. You're going to get bitter. You say, God, I'm doing everything you told me to do. I never disobeyed your command. And you're going to reward this person? And then he reveals what your heart's full of. Just as selfish as the younger brother. You're just doing it good. And so this story is about 2 sons, right? One was really bad, separated from the father from his badness. One was really good, separated from his father from his goodness. But see, what we see is that these 2 sons, both alienated from the father. In both cases, the father has to go get them, goes out of the way to get them. I just think it's so fascinating that it wasn't in spite of his goodness. It was because of it. He says it. He says it right there. He says, you want to know why I'm not going? Because I've never disobeyed you. And so that's really got to change our view of sin then, right? It should. It should change our view of the way we got to approach God. Because then you start looking at who Christ was talking to at that point. You start looking at the audience, and the audience was tax collectors and Pharisees. You start connecting the two. Tax collectors, sinners, younger brother. Pharisees, older brother. And Christ is trying to reveal to them what they really looked like. Because guys, religious people will commonly live moral lives to leverage something over God so that he has to owe them something. You don't leverage anything over the Lion of Judah. He's God. And he's loving, he's perfect, but you don't leverage anything over him. See, a real Christian is not somebody that just repents for the wrongdoings. A real Christian is somebody who repents for the very reason they did anything right. You catch that? Because let's be honest, what's our motive for being good? For those of us that are grown up in the church, those of us that we call ourselves pretty moral, why are you being good? It's because you love them? Or it's because you want something from them. Because you can live that way for a while, and really, it'll work, but when it does come out from under your feet, and I know what that feels like, you realize the very thing that you thought you were, you weren't. God was never your father. He was a tool. And so, at the beginning, I said the story is best explain the initiating love of God, right? Why do I say that? Well, because look at the example. In both cases, the father goes out. In both cases, the father gets out. Because let me tell you something, guys. If God wasn't seeking you, you ain't seeking him. He initiated that love, and he's done it for every single one of us. You might be sitting here right now feeling that. You might be feeling that in your seat right now. You're like, man, he's coming after you. And it's not a scary thing. It's a beautiful thing that he loves you enough to come after you. But see, I think the sweetest part to this story is right here. If you look at where this story was told, when it was told to the Pharisees, to the tax collectors, there's actually a series of three parables. I skipped the first two. The first parable is this parable of lost sheep. We all know it. Leaves the 99, goes for the one. Second was the coin. This woman overturns everything in her house just to find this one last coin. And then you got the parables of the prodigal son. But there's a strikingly large difference between those two and this one. It's this. No one actually goes out for the younger son. Yes, does the father go out and greet him? Absolutely. But nobody goes after him. Why? We don't know the exact answer, but I think part of it is this. Who should have done it? Who should have went after that younger brother that was in sin? Well, it was his older brother. His older brother should have saw the agony that his father was in and said, you know what, Dad, I'm going out. I'm going to go get him. And look, if he spent everything of our inheritance, which he most likely did, I don't care. I'm bringing him back at my cost. That's what the older brother should have done. Guys, in the story, it literally wasn't possible for the younger son to come back in the family without the expense of the older brother. That's why he was so angry. And so there should have been a true older brother. Poor kid didn't have it. But you and I, we do. See, we didn't need an older brother to come from town to town looking for us. We needed an older brother to come from heaven to earth. We didn't need an older brother at the cost of his wallet to bring us in. We needed one at the cost of his life. See, at the cross, Christ was stripped naked so that you could be clothed. He's an outcast so that you could be family. He lost his royalty so that you could be an heir. On the cross, he literally lost his ability to call God Father. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he wasn't being treated like a son so that you and I could be treated like sons and daughters. See, Christ paid that debt that you and I all know we have. We ain't fooling anyone. Christ is the older brother that we all need, who bore the cost to bring us home. And guys, when you see that, when that clicks, when that just captivates your heart, man, it'll change you. Changed me. I was a little bit older than you, but it changed me. And guys, we'll never stop being younger brothers. We'll never stop being older brothers until we realize what Christ accomplished on that cross and let it captivate us, let it woo us. So look, I'm gonna end with a little piece of poetry, because isn't that sweet? If I could get Nate just to start just playing, thank you. It's a very short poem. I love it because it really just explains what we just went through, and it's this. To see the law by Christ fulfilled and hear his pardoning voice changes a slave into a child and duty into choice. Guys, why are you serving God? Religion says this, I obey, therefore God accepts me. The gospel says, God accepts you, therefore obey. And so look, some of you are sitting here right now, you're younger brothers. And it's hard. You're in sin right now and you don't know the way out. It hurts. You're doing things you know you shouldn't be doing. And my encouragement to you guys tonight is just this. Come home. Come home. He's there. The Father is waiting for you. He's not going to judge you. And look, don't try to clean yourself up first. You don't need to. And you can't. Do what that son came. Filthy. And the father got dirty so the son could get clean. So just come home. Don't hold that shame anymore. Don't hold that guilt. And I know some of you are sitting here, right? You're the younger son, but you're just not ready. Look, that's cool. Some of you are living in sin. You know you're not supposed to be doing what you're, but you have a point to prove. You want to figure this out by yourself. Look, that's cool. But my encouragement to you is this, if that is you, when you hit rock bottom, and I don't say that pessimistically, when you do, because you will, come home. Just come home. The Father's not going to hold that against you. He wants you. And lastly, maybe you're sitting here thinking, no, dude, Lou, I was you. I struggled with what you were talking about. Man, I'm judgmental. And see, if you want to know if you're the older brother, I'll tell you, it's this right here. How do you feel when you see your friends in sin? Because if it doesn't break your heart, you're an older brother. Because at that point, you think you've earned it. You think you've earned your salvation, not that it was given to you. You're good. Guys, if you believe that God should bless you, should do all these things for you because you're good, because you do all the things, because you've worked so hard, then listen to me. If that's true, if that's how you feel, Christ is a good helper to you. Man, he's a great teacher to you. Man, he might even be the best inspiration into your entire life. But he's not your savior. You're acting as your savior. So just come home. Go to the party. Don't hold on to that bitterness anymore. Guys, just get real tonight with God. Just be like, God, this is who I am. And I know you accept me for that, but God, I want to change. And just repent, all right? So that's how we're going to end tonight, all right? So if I can just get everybody to just bow your heads and close your eyes with me real quick. Look, if you're sitting here at all tonight feeling like, man, Lou, I need a relationship with that God you're talking about. Look, I don't care if you've been going to church your whole life. If you're sitting here right now and you're saying, man, I want that relationship. I want to see him as Father. I want to be out of this sin. I want to stop being so righteous, so judgmental. I want that for Lou. Look, if that is you, can you just do me a favor? Just right now. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just right now, just put your hand up real quick if that is you. If you want that relationship with God, awesome. I can see that. I see those hands. Cool. Again, I'll give you one more moment. If you feel that way, if you feel like that's me, Lou, just raise your hand up real quick. That's you. All right, sweet. So what I'm going to do now, no, you know, I should change my mind. Actually, can I get everybody to open your eyes real quick? Sorry, change it up. Just hit me. You know who raised your hand. Like, you know, we saw it. It's fine. I'm not going to address it. I'm not going to go to you. And just don't worry. I'm not going to pinpoint you out. What I want to do right now, though, is I want everybody to just come up forward, real quick, because we're going to end in a worship. And just slide this out. I want just everybody, just how we normally go. I'm going to stand up here real quick. I just want everybody to just come up to the front real quick. We're just going to end in song real quick. Spread out too. You don't need to be around it. You don't need to be around your friends. And so for those of you that did raise your hand, typically what I would do is I'd lead you in a prayer. That's what I do. And you say that prayer after me. But look, we can sometimes get caught up in that prayer and it become religious itself. And so look, I'm not going to lead you in a prayer. You made that. You raised that hand. And so what I want right now is if you raise your hand or whether you didn't, this is that perfect time. This is that call. Just worship him for who he is. This is the time to say, God, I repent. You do it. I don't want to tell you how to do it. Because sometimes I can tell you this prayer and then you're so worried about just saying the prayer that you don't authentically give your life to Christ. I want you to give your life to Christ tonight. Repent. Just admit it. You're not good, but you need him. That's all he's asking. And so as we go into this song, I just want everybody to close your eyes. You don't need to worry about your friends. Whether you want to sing the song is fine. You don't have to. Whether you want to raise your hands, that's cool. I just want everyone in this room just to appreciate the God who is. Repent and thank him for what Christ did on that cross.
Then the ground I'm standing on You're more real than the wind in my lungs. Your thoughts define me. You're inside me. And above, belong to you. Oh, Abba, I belong to you. You're closer than the skin on. Closer than the song on my tongue. Your thoughts define me. You're inside me. Abba, belong to you. Oh, Abba, I belong to you.
You're just standing there. Just think about that lyric. Abba, Daddy, Dad. That's it. Simple as that. You belong. He loves you guys so, so much. So much that we'll never even begin to understand. So I'm just going to pray for us real quick. Father, I thank you for every life, every soul that is in this room. Father, I thank you that you want us to see you as Abba. You don't want us to see you as all these other things, but most importantly, you want us to see you as Dad, as Father. Because you know that's the only thing that changes a heart. That you love us so much that you come from heaven to earth just to save us. You are so good, Father. And we thank you for what Christ did on that cross. We thank you for what he did that we could never do ourselves. But you are so good. Thank you for this, Father. We ask that you receive all the glory for this. And we say all this in your beautiful, precious Son's name. Amen. Guys, thank you so much. I love you guys.